Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. This morning I'm going to be speaking from the subject that God is good. And Psalm 119:39-40 say that. Your regulations are good. And then renew my life with your, King James says righteousness. New Living says goodness. And the word good sometimes is a small word. We think it means happy or beneficial or talented or morally. It is much deeper. You know, what's the difference between the three-letter word God and the four-letter word good? We have 10 different, 10. And God and good, does he say I am good all through scriptures? I am good. And that doesn't mean, oh, he'll make me happy all the time, nothing bad will happen. He says, whatever happens to you, be it good in your estimation, I'm with you. If it seems bad to you, I'm still with you, and I have a purpose in it. That's what it means. God is good to me all the time, and all the time he is good. Josh, come up and read for us, please.
Okay, if you guys could all stand, please. Psalm 119, starting verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep them unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. You may be seated.
Amen. God is good, and all the time, God is good. In so many places in Scripture, God has showed himself to be good. And it's a neat thing to think about and to ponder on and to realize. You keep yourself there in Psalm 119. But in Exodus 34:6, it says, The Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness and truth. It says in Genesis, it talks about it just being God's nature and his actions. And it's so important that we catch that. In Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to get it. Now, this week we're going to have turkey, and we're going to have pumpkin pie, and we're going to have dressing. How many like dressing? How many don't like dressing? Come on. Some people don't like it. Okay. You know, we're going to have pumpkin pie. What else we have? We have mashed potatoes and gravy. Ooh, or you can go to McDonald's. You know, old taste. You know, we can just taste it. Is that right? You got to get into it. The Lord is good. He is good. But you got to grab it. You got to go after it. And it's so important. In Romans 2:4, it says, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And in everything, God is good. And that is so important that we understand that and we grab it and say, God, you're the one. Even chastening, when God gets our attention, is that right? When God spanks us, when God straightens us out. It says in Hebrews 12:10, even chastening is for our good. And that is so important that we understand that and realize, God, you're just so good to us. In Psalm 119:32 begins our text here. Psalm 119:32. It just says this. It says, it's right at the end of that last section. It says, I will run. Now it started out, he's in the dust crying out to God. And then the end of the 8 verses, he says, verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou hast enlarged my heart. You know, I'm going to choose to start low, and then you're going to move me and progress me from confession to choosing to cling to you, to running to you, and to realize I have a weak heart and I depend on you. I need to enlarge my heart, make it bigger, stronger, better, and more steadfast with confidence in God. And you just widen, expand so I can receive more light, and you enlarge me so I can run. And that's what it's saying there. God, help me. Give me a bigger heart so you can talk to me and guide me through all of this. And then he starts in to verse 33. I want you to know verse 33 all the way to 41. 33 to 41, remember these are all connected, 8 verses in each of these, starting with a different Hebrew word. And this one is a prayer, and it says, teach me, give me, make me, incline my heart, turn me away, establish, turn me away, quicken me. They're all statements there. And I just hit me that God is good, and he's so good to us, and we need to understand that this is what it's all about. And we're into this, that he's good. And I want you to see the Philippians chapter 2. Let's read it together. This is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12b and 13. I just want you to be consumed with this all through the message this morning. Let's read it together. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure. And we have a part in it, but he's doing it all. And that's where he's good to us. He wants to help us. Renew my life with your goodness. If I just realize that you are good to me, even in the times of getting my attention, even in the times when I've done you wrong, you still forgive me. Even in the times when you allow bad things to happen. Does he allow bad things to happen? Yeah, you know, how could a good God do that? That's always the problem of many unbelieving people. God could have kept that cancer. But oh, if you catch that, you'll realize somewhere and somehow God uses that. And he's got a plan. And it's either to grow us or to grow somebody around us. But he's got a whole plan. And he's got it all under tact. And we need to realize, I don't understand it. And I don't particularly like it. But God knows what he's doing. And he's a good God. And he's good all the time. And all the time he's good. And I'm going to trust him. Though he slay me, wow, I will what? Trust him. Because he knows what he's doing. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I don't have a clue. But I can trust him, and he's good. He knows all about Mike Fisher and still loves me. You ever think about that? Knows all about it. He knows all my weaknesses, and he still loves me. And that's what's so neat. Since we know that, verse 33, in your bulletin has this outline. So get your bulletin out. You're supposed to write on sermon notes. You know I'm not too good with sermon notes. But today I have an outline. Hey, it just goes through the verses. So get your sermon, get your bulletin out there, and it's got some outline there already written in for you. And jot down some of these things. I got some good stuff here. It's not mine. I found it someplace. Verse 33, he starts out with, teach me. God, you're good to me. You teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep them to the end. I won't give up. I'll keep them all the way till I die. Keep them all the way till I go to heaven. And Lord, thy way. I'll go my way so easy. But if you teach me your way, if you'll let me understand your way, I'll keep it and preserve it to the end. You know, isn't it great that God can be understood? Think about that. You know, how many of you understand how electricity works? How many understand that we can punch in a computer and we can talk to somebody on the other side of the world? Wow, I don't understand it. I'm just so glad. I don't understand how I can pull my cell phone out and talk to it in West Virginia and it'll print it up. You should see what it says sometimes. I want you to know that God is understandable, huh? And He wants us to know His way, and He's going to teach it to you. If you'll just open the Bible, will He teach you? Yes. Well, preacher, I don't get much out. Keep reading. Don't quit. And that's so important that we realize that, wow, only a God-changed heart can pray. Left to man's self, he is unable to do the will of God. But the psalmist prayed to have received the will because he couldn't get it himself. And he says, God, help me. You know, with fear and trembling, I'm going to open my Bible and read it and study it and try to spend some time in it. One person said, God doesn't talk to you the first 15 minutes. You know, well, I did my devotions. You know, I read the Bible 5 minutes. God needs some time. Well, I read it once. Read it 5 times. Let God talk. And so many times we don't realize that. Teach me. And I'm a slow learner. Teach me. Help me. You got to cry that. He's good. He will teach you. Verse 34. Help me. Give me understanding. Help me to understand. And I shall keep your law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Catch that whole heart. A transformed heart. Spurgeon said this in this verse. The understanding operatives upon the affections, it convinces the heart of the beauty of the law so that the soul loves it with all its power, and then it reveals the majesty of the lawgiver and the whole nature bows before his supreme will. God Almighty comes at us and we realize, man, he is going to help me. This one that is the helper, he's going to help me understand it. He's going to teach me it, and he's going to make it clear to me and help me to understand it so that I can apply it to my life. God help me. I will observe it with my whole heart. You just keep it coming. We have many distractions. God, you keep me from all of these distractions. You're the Almighty. Verse 35, this is, lead me, God. You're so good. You'll teach me. You'll help me. Now you'll lead me. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, and therein do delight. It says, make me. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I love it when he makes me, huh? He makes me. I've known of people who said, I'm going to go do evil as a teenager. And they give testimony that they wrecked a car or something happens that they couldn't do it. He makes me. He loves me. He won't let me do evil. He says, make me to walk in your path. Lord, lead me that way. Keep me from falling away. God, you keep that in my heart to be directed to you. And you make me to go in that path. And I'm feeble. I'm needing you. I pant after you. I'm like a lame man needing legs. And you're the one. God, help me. God, teach me. God, help me. God, lead me. Verse 36, God, direct me. Incline my heart unto your testimonies and not to, what's the last word? Covetousness, not to selfishness. This is a big word here. This is worthless things. Verse 36, God, incline my heart to these things. Keep me from covetousness. Keep me from wanting stuff for my own life. You move me towards you. You keep me from myself. You keep me from selfish gain, pursuing selfish gain. David committed adultery and murder, and because because of covetousness in 2 Samuel 6. Judas stole from his fellow disciples and betrayed Jesus for covetousness in Matthew 26. Ananias lied to the Holy Spirit out of covetousness in Acts chapter 5. And it is the mother of sin, covetousness. And he said, keep me from it, God. Direct me from it. Incline my heart. Don't let me crave that. Help me to crave you. Very good. Verse 37, it says, deliver me. God, you love me. Deliver me. Turn away mine eyes. Catch, the heart is in verse 36. The eyes from beholding vanity, worthless things, and quicken, revive thou me in thy way. And this is the eyes, things that have worthless things that have no eternal value and have little present value. We can waste ourselves in doing these things. One man said this, the modern world with its media and entertainment technology brings before us an endless river of worthless things to occupy not only our eyes and our time, but also our heart and our minds. And we got to guard that. Parents, that's your job to note what your children's eyes are upon and make certain it's going for godliness. God says, hey, I'm going to deliver me. You know, teach me, help me, lead me, direct me, deliver me from these things, from worthless things. Because worthless things, what are worthless things? Worthless because they do no good. Worthless because they do not last. Worthless because they do not help me or anyone else. Worthless because they build no faith, no hope, no love. Worthless because they distract from things that are truly worthy. Worthless because they have nothing to do with Jesus. Worthless things. Do we have a lot of trivia and worthless things today? Just time wasters. We're masters at it in our culture. And our natural tendencies crave it. Is that right? We want it there. And he's praying. He says, Lord, I need outside help. I need help from heaven. If I'm not careful, lest my looking cause liking and lusting. It happens. God, help me to put my eyes towards you, to go in another direction. Note, he didn't say to gouge the eyes out. He says, move them in the right direction. Is that the truth? He didn't say, shut your eyes. He said, look towards you, and God will deliver us. Deliver me from this, Lord. I want to go your way. Revive your way to me. I don't want to be the dull and deadness of my affections. I need to have liveliness and vigorness and fervency for you. And it's so important that we see this. We feel a decline of what we see, and God wants to revive that with your word and feed upon that so that can become alive. Verse 38 is reassure. That's a great word. Establish thy word upon thy servant, me, God. Reassure me of it. Who is devoted to thy fear, to respect you, to honor you. Lord, you reassure me. You come alive when I read my Bible. You change my heart, oh God, very much. Verse 39, it says, rescue. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are what? Good. And he says, rescue me, God. You know, help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. Help me, God. Rescue me. Help me in that area, because God, you're the one that can help me. Verse 40, it says, revive me. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken, revive, bring new life, me and thy righteousness, thy goodness. Revive me in that, God. This is what he wanted. And then verse 41, our last verse, it says, he saved me. I hope you know you're saved here this morning. You need to know that he is the one who saves you. Verse 41, look at it. It says, he saved me. It says, let thy mercies, thy long suffering, you don't give me what I deserve. Come unto me, O Lord. Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Saved by the word. I trust you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your Savior. It is very important that you know that. He is good, but His great goodness is that He sent a Savior, and we're sinners, and we need to trust Him. And He comes in, and He starts changing our life. He starts teaching us, helping us, leading us, directing us, delivering us, reassuring us, rescuing us, reviving us, because He saved us. And that's what's so important, that we understand that, that God, and we need to know that it is Him that saves us. We don't save ourselves. We don't become good enough for Him. We're bad. We're sinners. We need a Savior. That's why He died. If we're good enough, He wouldn't have to die. Because the wages of sin is either you die for your own sins in hell forever, or you trust Him. And I'm trusting Him. I trust you are. And once you do that, you need to have assurance in that and just confidence in that, that I've repented of my sins, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, I turn from my sins, I open my heart, I let Him in, and now I'm walking with Him, I'm letting Him teach me, help me, lead me, direct me, deliver me, rescue me, reassure me, revive me, save me. And it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God, my flesh is a mess. Is that right? And if not for you, I'll sin. If not for you, man, I'm in trouble. And then you realize, I want to read my Bible. I'm going to put that effort in. There's this sin. These words I'd like to quit saying, or these attitudes I'd like to stop having. These issues, that this pride, this arrogancy, this jealousy, this covetousness. God, help me. God, help me. And then you realize it is He that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. His good pleasure, that we realize, oh my God, it's all about you and it's wonderful. Hope you know you're saved. We're going to deal with that in 1 second. First of all, we're dealing with a subject called life is hard. Life is hard. I'm going to play you a song here. I don't know what it's about, but it's called Life is Hard, But God is Good. And the statement is, Jesus never said it would be easy. It would be an easy road to travel. He only said that you would never be alone. So when your last thread of hope begins to come unraveled, don't give up. He walks beside you on this journey home, and He knows that life is hard, but God is good. Listen to it. Listen to it.
You turn the key and close the door behind you. Drop your bags on the floor. Sometimes living is all you can.
Lord, but God is good. Amen. And we understand that, and I trust you know that because God is good. Is that right? God is good. And all the time, God is good. And God, and all the time, it is so important that we grasp that. Put up the next picture. Christians, let Him love you. He's good. Note it. Expect it. Count on it. He's teaching you. He's helping you. He's leading you. He's directing you. He's delivering you. He's reassuring you. He's rescuing you. He's reviving you because He saved you. And it says, work out your own salvation. He's already saved you. He's already saved you within. Now you work it out. You grab it. You believe it. You practice it. You claim it. You see it when it's not happening in your life, in evidence of physical evidence there. Well, this is all bad, but God is good, and I'm going to grab it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hope that verse rings in your heart. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. Catch that. Catch that. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, oh my, you need to get saved. You don't have somebody teaching, helping, directing, guiding, delivering, reassuring, rescuing, reviving. Huh? You need that. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. That's every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, get God's goodness and let Him do all of these things for you. You're saved. You got God. Now work it out. Let it out. Let it live. Let it become real because He's doing it. He's being good to you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's at it. He's at it. Open that Bible and let it come out. Let it live. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, just you, me, and God. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. And boy, I want a God that's good to me. I don't want one that's angry. I don't want His wrath. I want His mercy. I don't want His anger. I want His grace. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Simpleness of our hour. Pray for me. Anyone? I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Raise your hand. Let me pray with you, please. Balconies, side wings, main floor. Don't leave here today without knowing Jesus. Talk to somebody. There's somebody right beside you that'll talk. There's papers all through the 4 years called Peace, Purpose, and Joy. Get one and read it till God opens your eyes and saves your soul. He's good. He's good. Know His goodness. Enjoy His goodness. Expect His goodness. Learn from His goodness. Let Him be good to you because He is good.